Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 6th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. John chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that he'd eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, our Father, that every word of yours is pure, that all of your word is given by inspiration of your Spirit, and it is profitable to us. We thank you, our Father, for the preservation of the life, the earthly ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've recorded this particular story here, and for that which you desire to share with us as part of his body out of this passage today. I thank you, Father, that the anointing of God is upon your word. I thank you that your word is spirit and that it's life. I thank you, Father, that your anointing is in me and on me to proclaim the word. I thank you, Father, that your anointing is upon those that are in the congregation today to hear your word. And I ask you, Father, that this message would go deep down inside each one that's gathered here, that it might join itself with our spirit, that your word spirit and our spirit would become one, that the word of God would live large within us, would be dominant in our lives, and that all that which we do would then become in line perfectly with your holy word. I thank you, Father, for the way that you're going to minister to us today in your word. Help us to see clearly that you have for us today. For all that you do in the message, I give you the praise, and I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, as I was reading through the book of John this week, I came to this particular passage on Friday. And as I read it, the Lord just began to minister to me concerning the stewardship program that we've just completed. And he began to minister to me specifically about what we were going to do today in the dedication of those financial commitments and in the dedication of those commitments of time and ability which you all made this week to the Lord Jesus Christ through his church. All of you who are members of the Water of Life Christian Center have been visited and counseled this week by one of your fellow churchmen and have committed yourself in certain areas and in certain ways to a portion of your time and of your ability and of your financial and material resources as far as the kingdom of God's use was concerned. As I read this story this week, it just fit perfectly with that which we're going to do this morning in the dedication of the pledges. And the reason that we did not do that earlier on was because at the time that I had scheduled that in the order of worship this morning, God hadn't given me this yet. So we'd do it a little differently this morning. This is the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in the four Gospels, in all four of them. This is the only one that every one of the four Gospel writers recorded. And you know, if you'll read the Gospel of John, something that you notice that's interesting about John's Gospel is John does not record very many of the same things that the other Gospel writers did. If you read Matthew and Mark and Luke, you will read the same miracles and the same occasions in the life of Jesus over and over again, because they are what is called the synoptic Gospels, and they're very similar in the portions and the slices of the life of the Lord Jesus that they record. John, apparently by design, did not record those. This one he did. This one miracle he recorded. And if you'll read it in the other Gospels and then read it in the book of John, you'll see the particular way that John recorded it. And I just trust God to get that out of me this morning by the Spirit so that I can minister it to you today. Over in the book of Luke, I'm going to read several passages here to kind of set the stage for what I want to bring out of this story of the feeding of the 5,000. The Gospel of Luke in the 19th chapter. I want to read two verses. There's much in this story of the feeding of the 5,000 beyond the obvious physical miracle. Jesus of Nazareth, in his earthly ministry, took five little barley loaves and two small fish and fed 5,000 men and their families with it. It was a physical miracle beyond anything that you can imagine. He took a little boy's lunch. Andrew said, there's a lad here. He's got five little barley loaves. Now, these are not loaves like you go down to the grocery store and buy five king-size colonials. Okay? These were not two big 400-pound tuna fish. These were little fish that the boy had in his sack as a lunch. The Greek word literally on the fish there is that one of these fish was just a bite. It was enough for the boy to eat. That's how much he had. Five little loaves, two small pieces of fish. But there's much more here than just the obvious miracle that Jesus did. He took that little boy's lunch, and he caused it to be multiplied so that it was adequate to feed 5,000 men and their families. Hungry men. They were out in the desert when he fed them. They were hungry. But I want this to speak to you and to me today. I don't want to look at this story strictly in its historical setting. I want this to talk to you and me today as the body of Jesus Christ. In Luke, the 19th chapter, the 12th verse, Jesus told a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And Jesus was comparing himself to this same nobleman. In the same way that the nobleman gave his inheritance to his servants and said, occupy until I come, while I'm off in a far country getting my kingdom, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is doing today. Jesus left this earth to get his kingdom. He left his inheritance and his possessions in the charge of his church, and he said, occupy until I come. I'm coming back, but in the meantime, you look after things. In the meantime, you stay busy. In the meantime, you do the same work that I would do if I were there. In other words, occupy till I come. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus, just before he went into heaven, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, Another familiar verse, 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 8th verse, he said, Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, if that is not an adequate set of instructions for the body of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. Jesus said, Occupy until I come. He said, Go into all of the world and teach the people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and teach them all the things I've commanded you. He said, Go into all the world, every nook and cranny in the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, If there's a sick person around, heal them. He said, Raise the dead. He said, Cleanse the lepers. And he said, Cast out devils. I have freely given unto you all authority and all things, therefore you freely give them to others. That is the call that is on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me say over and over again, if the church is literally the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the church needs to be doing what Jesus would do if he were here in the flesh, because if the church is the body of Christ, the church then is the flesh and bone of Christ. And in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 30th verse, Paul said, We are of his flesh and of his bone. Whether you feel like it or not, and I know that there are many of you that from time to time don't feel like the body of Christ. You feel about as far away from the body of Christ as a person could feel. I don't care how you feel. If you are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, it's in him that you live and move and have your being. You are the body of Christ, whether you feel like it, look like it, act like it or not. You are the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am the literal body of his. And we together, you see, along with all of those others that are all over this world that are born again by the Spirit and by the Word, we are literally the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. The head is in heaven. He is giving direction. We are the arms and legs and mouths to carry out the work which he has given to do. Now, if you want to know what is the work of Jesus Christ, what's his body supposed to do, I've just shared you the scripture. But specifically now, in the 6th chapter of the book of John, what did Jesus do? There's something just powerful here. You know, when you begin to share that, I don't know how it strikes you, but when you begin to see the calling that is on the body of Christ today, the calling that Jesus has on his church, you know, it can stagger you. It's a big job that God's given us to do. There are more people that are lost in this world than there are saved. I said there are more people lost than there are saved in this world by a vast margin. I think sometimes that I think sometimes that in some of our churches there are more people that are lost than there are saved. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That have not truly received the Lord Jesus, but they are churched, but they're not Christianized. They're members of a church, but not members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big job to be done. There are people that are sick all around you. There are people that are under all manner of wicked oppression all around you. Many in your own homes that are oppressed by the enemy in one manner or another. Many in your families, not necessarily in your homes again now, but in your families, in your neighborhoods, in our community. Those of you that live in neighborhoods, you know how few Christians there are in your neighborhoods. Multiply that by the way it is all over Douglas County. And this is a Christian nation. There's a big job to be done. A big job to be done. People are dying without the Lord Jesus. People are sick. People are under bondage, and they need to be set free. It's a massive kind of a job. Jesus said, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to go and preach the word, to go and heal the sick, to go and cast out the devils. It is the responsibility of the body of Christ to do the work of Christ. It's clearly our job. But it's so big. There's so much to do. How can we do it? How can we possibly make a dent in that? How can we possibly be effective in rolling back the tide of darkness? How can we possibly do what Jesus has said, do? The answer is right here. The answer is in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said to Philip in the fifth verse, here comes a lot of people, Philip, and they're hungry. How are we going to buy food? What are we going to do, Philip? He says, how are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people? And Philip in the seventh verse answered him the way so many Christians would. Lord, there's no way. We only have 200 penny worth of money in our bag. You remember Judas was the one that carried the bag. Philip says, the only money we have is 200 penny worth, and it wouldn't possibly buy enough bread to feed every person one little tiny bite. He said, Lord, the resources we have are just not adequate. We don't have enough means. We can't feed these people. It's impossible. Can't you see that, Jesus? And then there was Andrew. He was standing by. And Andrew said, well, Lord, we do have a little boy here, and he's got a lunch. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish in it. But he also said in the 9th verse, but what are they among so many? Andrew said, it's impossible. We've got some food, but it's just not enough. It just won't go far enough. Poor Philip and poor Andrew were limited by what they saw as ordinary means. The only thing they had available to meet the needs of all of these people that day was their ordinary means. 200 penny worth of money in the bag and 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And they looked at it and they said, Lord, that's impossible. There is no way that will ever reach to even put a dent in the hunger that's in these 5,000 men and their families. It's impossible. But I want to declare to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not limited by ordinary means. He is not limited by ordinary means. Philip and Andrew were, but Jesus is not. Look at verse 10 with me. This is so beautiful. He said to his disciples, make the men sit down. He said, just invite them to come and sit down and trust me. He said, just invite them to come in and sit down and trust me to feed them. All you have to do is issue the invitation. Just invite them to come. Sit them down on the grass that is here and depend upon me to feed them. And then look at the 11th verse. This is very interesting, I think. The scripture says that Jesus, when he had given thanks for the loaves, he distributed them to the disciples, and then the disciples distributed to them that were set down. Do you get it? Are you getting it yet? Jesus took what the little boy had and was willing to give. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He gave thanks for it. He said, just invite the men to sit down. He took it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples. And he said, now here, you take it and give it to them. Isn't that what Jesus is doing today? Isn't that the way he wants to use you and me today? In exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. How are we going to do what Jesus said we must do? He said, occupy until I come. There's a great need, and how are we ever going to fill it? We don't have enough ordinary means. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough ability. We don't have enough of the ordinary means to get the work done, do we? It's not available, is it? In the natural, in the ordinary ways. What you have seen in that little gold piece of paper that you have with you today is a miracle. But even that is not enough to do what needs to be done in the county that we live in. It's not enough. It won't reach all the people in our county. It won't minister deliverance and healing to every person in our county. All by itself, it's not enough. There aren't enough people gathered here this morning. If you went into full-time service for the Lord Jesus and went out canvassing in neighborhoods, there's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough ability. There's not enough money in the ordinary. But Jesus asked you two questions this past week. He said to you, children, how much do you have? He said, how much do you have? And then he said, will you give it to me? How much do you have? And will you give it to me? And you said, here's how much I have, Jesus. And you said, and I'll give it to you. And Jesus takes it, and he multiplies it. He'd take your $5 a week, or your $50 a week, or your $75 a week, you see, and he'll multiply that. He'll multiply that, and he'll multiply that. In your bulletin this morning, I printed out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. I like the way it's translated there in the RSV. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. He'll supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He takes it and multiplies it. He gives it back to us. We take it and give it to the ones that are in need. And then what happens when we give it to other people in his name is multiplied in the giving as we give it. As we are dishing it out, it is multiplied right then, you see, as the people are receiving it. And what is the result? Look at verse number 12. When they had a little bit to eat, oh, praise God, when they were filled, when they were satisfied, when they were saved, when they were completely filled with the Holy Ghost, when they were completely satisfied in their relationship with God, when their bodies were whole and healed, when the darkness had been driven out of their family and out of their finances, when the wholeness of Jesus Christ was ministered to them, they were filled and satisfied. And they knew that day that Jesus Christ was a miracle-working Son of God. Why? Because they had a full stomach to prove it. And today, men and women will know that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the miracle-working Son of God. Why? Because they're going to have their heart full, and they'll know it. That's the way it works. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he will meet the needs of the people today in the very same way that he met it that day on the side of the mountain by the Sea of Galilee. Is that right? And then he says to us, I believe, don't worry about yourself. In the 12th verse, after the people were filled, he said to his disciples, that's you and that's me, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. They started off with one, pardon the expression, puny little lunch. that wouldn't have even fed the 12 disciples. But when they did what Jesus asked them to do, not only was all of the multitude fed, but each one of the disciples had a whole basket left over for himself. 12 baskets. Do you ever wonder why is it 12 baskets? That's no accident. 12 baskets full left over. Now, if they'd have been grubby, greedy about it, you see, as so many people are, well, I've only got so much. You'll say, well, I've only got $150 a week, or I've only got $200 a week, or I've only got $300 a week, or I've only got 2 hours a day to myself, you know, and to my family, and man, I just can't give that to the Lord. I need that for myself. I'm telling you, if you will give it to God, He will meet the needs of the people around about you who are crying out for help, and He will give you more back than you had to start with. That's the Word of God, and that's what He declares He'll do for you, the same as He did for them that day. But if you say, I can't spare it, see, I can't give it, not only will they not be filled, but you won't either. You see how precious God is and how He'll honor what we'll do for Him. They were filled. They were satisfied, and there was plenty left over. As we bring these gifts today to dedicate unto the work of the Lord, we're bringing our commitments and our pledges unto Him today to dedicate them to His work. I want you to know today, and I believe this is what God's message is for you today, that as we bring them to Him, we are saying to Him, yes, Jesus, we know there's a big job to be done. Yes, Lord, we have this much available. It's not enough, but we're willing to give it to You. We know that You will take it and multiply it. You'll give it back to us so that we can then give it to others who are in need. There'll be more than enough left over to meet our needs with abundance. They'll be filled and satisfied. We'll be filled and satisfied. And we'll have the additional joy of knowing that we've done what God wants us to do. And we'll know that we're working in partnership and in harmony with Him. And we expect today, as we dedicate these commitments of time and of ability and of money, we expect our Heavenly Father to do with these, however meager they are, exactly what He did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, to multiply them to the same degree at least, and really do something miraculous and wonderful through us because of what we're willing to give to Him. Does that minister to you? I tell you, when I began to see that this week, I thought, oh, praise the Lord. I said that just began to jump up and down inside me. How wonderful this is. That we, you see, can do. Sometimes you read the Bible, you say, oh, I would have loved to have been one of the 12 disciples. You know how grand it would have been if I could have taken one of those loaves out of the hands of Jesus, and I could have broken it and began to hand it out to the men that were there, and I could have been a part of that miracle. Oh, what a wonderful thing that would have been. Well, you can do it. You can do it. And by the grace of God, we are doing it even now, this very moment. I want you to recognize that God is using you the same way He used those 12 disciples. You expect to be used like that. He's using us in that way. Because that's the way He operates. God's in that kind of business. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask Claire Eskew, if he will, to just bring those commitments forth. And we're going to ask Jesus to do what He did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Huh? We're going to ask Him to do just that with this. Would you all stand where you are, please? I'm going to ask you where you are. I'm going to lead in prayer, but that doesn't mean I'm the only one praying. If I'm the only one praying, then we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing here today, all right? We are bringing our commitments unto the Lord. We are dedicating them unto His service. So I want you to stretch your hand out towards your brother, Claire. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray and just ask God to take these that we bring to Him and cause it to be multiplied. Father, we just lay our hands by faith on the commitments that we have brought unto You. Father, we want You to know that we have not brought them to Water of Life or to a church. We've not brought them to a man, but we have brought them unto Jesus in the same way that the disciples brought the loaves and the fish. We give them to You, Father, through this ministry. Right now we dedicate them unto that work, Father, that You might use them to multiply the good gifts of God back to us and through us to those that are in need today. Healing for the sick, wholeness for the broken, salvation for the lost, peace for the confused, faith for the fearful, love for those that are bound, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we'll be good stewards of that which You have given unto us as a trust. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.